You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
When the chips are down and democracy's back is up against the wall, two radio veterans step up to the microphone to right the wrongs, standing for truth, justice, and just because. Hey, are they ready to go yet? It's John and Gordy on 92.7 WMDX.
We're always ready.
Ready and waiting.
Yes, ready, willing, and able.
WMDX. John and Gordy in the morning, 92.7 on a beautiful, beautiful Wednesday morning.
Mm-hmm. 7:06, right now 31 degrees, highs today in the mid-50s. Along with producer Sam behind the controls, we've got Mike McCabe coming up in about a half hour. And right now we have Milwaukee Film Festival tickets to give away.
Mm-hmm.
These will get you into one of the films of your choice at the Milwaukee Film Festival, which is going on April 24th through May 8th.
So it's a general admission ticket.
Yes, it is. And you'll be able to go to the film hopefully that you'll want to go to.
Yeah.
And
If it's not sold out.
That's right. Yeah. Some of them do sell out, so you'll have your choice. But in any case, again, the festival runs from April 24th through May 8th at the Oriental Theater and the Downer Theater, downtown Milwaukee. So now's the time to text us the word Milwaukee. Text the word Milwaukee. Which texter will we take this time around, Sam?
It's a mystery, Gordy.
Okay, you're going to keep that a secret.
It's a secret,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, you can text us. Yes?
Speaking of the festival, tomorrow we're going to have in the artistic programmer of the festival. Let me find her name quick
here.
Kara Ogburn.
She's
going to be talking to us about some of what's actually playing at the festival, so you have some idea of what you're getting tickets for.
Excellent. Uh-huh. All right. So just text us the word Milwaukee. You can do that on the Civic Media app. It's free to download and free to use. Just text us the word Milwaukee, and Sam will make a selection, and we'll tell you who that is in the next 20 or 30 minutes. Okay?
All right. Boy, big news. You know, some Republicans are attempting to have town halls. And it's not working out for them. We were watching on CNN this morning.
Yeah, just a
up on the monitor. Marjorie Taylor Greene is, she's an unfortunate representative.
Well, what do you say that? Well, I mean, she's,
what a mistake that was to ever think that she could, you know, be in the House. But anyway, she had a town hall.
Right.
And a few people disagreed with what she was saying.
And some protesters there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a lot of people are protesting, even at the town halls that Democrats host.
Sure.
And they've been asking, they ask the questions, they get answers.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal. No one's tased, except now Marjorie Taylor Greene had a couple people tased at her town hall.
Arrested, too.
Yeah. Yes, they were hauled out, and she told them that they were brainwashed by the news. I love that. Brainwashed by the news.
Well, so they had to go.
Hey, you know, maybe they were listening to the John and Gordy show, and they heard Doug's comments about the John and Gordy taser contest, and they finally got what they wanted
there
when they went to Marjorie Taylor Greene's town hall.
He put it all together.
Yeah, it all makes perfect sense now. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, I who knew, right? Well, you could be brainwashed by the news.
Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene apparently.
You know, it's those algorithms that Mike Johnson.
That's what it is, the algorithms taken over.
It's so good. They're so good with algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, that's what's happening. And Chuck Grassley also had a few people that were angry with him. You know, Grassley has to talk to the farmers an awful lot, and the farmers not happy with what's happening with the Republican Party and Trump.
Yeah.
So they got angry as well. So I'm sure we'll probably have clips of that tomorrow, that Marjorie Taylor Greene thing. I can't wait to get clips for that. All right, let's get to something that happened on Earl Ingram's show. He talked to a former mayor and also a former ambassador to Luxembourg, Tom Barrett, the other day.
Okay.
And if you haven't heard already, Trump is proposing closing nearly 30 U.S. embassies and consulates around the globe. Now, this is really, really a bad idea. We're there. We're answering questions. We're there to help. And now we're just going to pull out stakes. That's it. Gone.
Any reason for closing down 30 embassies?
I don't think they have a reason for it. It's just more isolationism. I think isolationism. That's what it's all about. So let's go to the a caller called into Earl Ingram's show and asked Tom Barrett a question. This is 162. All right. Got it.
Here we go.
Professor, what's your reaction to all of this?
That's not it. I'm sorry. Is it 163? Look at the description.
Hang on.
Okay, that's 163. Sorry about that.
Nah, we're going back to school, learn how to count.
Huh? Well, I did that this morning, and I got the numbers mixed up. Go ahead.
That's more of a general statement. The question poses right there at the top, a question for Tom Barrett. What is your reaction to reports that the Trump administration is looking to close the embassy in Luxembourg?
So my reaction is the happiest person in Luxembourg, if that happens, is the Chinese ambassador to Luxembourg.
Why?
Because they are ready to just step in and fill any gap when the United States, and I saw this throughout Europe, I saw this throughout international organizations. When the United States pulls out, China moves in. It's that straightforward. And so if President Trump thinks his main rival is China, taking these steps that allow China to move in is insane. It's just insane. And that was one of the major issues we faced in our embassy in Luxembourg was the Chinese investment in Luxembourg, the economic ties, and to the point where in my final week, I was visiting with Luxembourg officials, and I said, I want you to watch a video. It's a Michael Bublé video. I like videos. I like, believe it or not, I like Michael Bublé. Save the Last Dance for Me. It's a tango number and stuff like that. I said, that's how I view our relationship with Luxembourg. We were there for them in World War II. We saved their country. We've supported them economically. We have huge financial ties. And now they're being wooed by China. Donald Trump is just opening up a huge barn door to let China drive in all over the world.
You know, Tom, I always say to people, at the root of this is this America first belief that Donald Trump has, and we should lock out everybody else, is really insane. When you only make up 4% of the global population, what he's doing is isolating us. And we can't win that battle if we only make up 4% of the global.
I agree with you. I agree. And insulting the people that have been our allies for 80 years.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense to me.
It really doesn't.
So,
you know, they were right on top of this thing. This is late breaking news. So
I'm a little worried that the United States is going to follow the course of China about like 400 or 500 years ago, when they kind of closed themselves off from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And then a little thing called the Industrial Revolution happened, and China was once, you could argue, the most powerful nation in the world for most of human history. For like 2,000 years, it was probably the most powerful country in the world. And then they closed themselves off from the rest of the world. They stopped trading with people. They stopped kind of exploring. They just kind of kept to themselves, and then they got sort of colonized. I don't want that to happen here.
Isolationist policies. You know, we have these long-standing alliances with all these countries around the globe, and now we're just cutting it off. And that would allow, of course, China to step in, and they've been all over the globe trying to put their foot in and try to help those other countries out financially.
How do you think this trade war is going to affect any of this? I mean, it's just going to make it even tougher on everybody.
It would. And, you know, the thing here is, and the reason they gave for doing this, it's to cut the State Department budget by almost half. Okay. What is wrong with, you know, they're making these ridiculous cuts all over the government. It just doesn't make any sense. It's mind-boggling why we keep cutting really good areas of our budget. Well-spent money, just willy-nilly. It doesn't matter to these people We need these embassies. We need to have some presence around the globe in order to help and be there and listen to them. And maybe we can help them financially as well. I mean, we're the global power in this world. We were anyway. I'm sorry. I think that's coming to an end. So anyway, this is really a big issue. And I think this is going to, this hit the fan pretty much yesterday. And so we'll see where this eventually goes.
Trump just wants to be in control of everything. He wants more power. He wants more money. And he wants total control. He doesn't want to, have ambassadors get in the way of what he wants to do with all of these countries.
Just amazing.
Be in charge.
Right?
Yeah.
Elon, of course, his Doge teenagers are saving now $150 billion. That is down dramatically from the $1 trillion that he estimated before. So he kind of gets you on the hook, right? We're going to save $1 trillion. And then, of course, it keeps going down and down and down. Then it kind of gives, $150 billion, that's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
And then they walk away and they make believe that seemed good. That seemed good. No, it doesn't seem good at all. Now, let's get to the big story here is disappearing people off the sidewalks of America.
Oh, boy.
I'm just like, this is stunning. This is stunning information. It's just awful to understand or even think it's possible to just take people off the sidewalks and make them disappear. And my son came up with this yesterday. This is very quick. Trump's executive order that he signed a while ago gives him the ability now to declare martial law on April 20th. That's Easter, Hitler's birthday.
Wow.
And this also allows, martial law allows him for deporting American citizens to El Salvador if he wants. So this gives him the ability. He's talking about it now, of course, wondering, can I send Americans to El Salvador? Well, martial law. Once he declares that,
right?
He can actually do this.
Yes.
So
who's going to stop him?
So where are we going to hide, Gordy?
I
where are we going to go? Sam, you can join us.
We going to go to Canada? Or
yeah, we can stow away in my VW.
Excellent. All right.
We're going to have to join some militia group, I think.
Start packing.
Yeah.
Okay. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. Coming up next, we'll talk to Brittany Merlot, get the latest on this fabulous day weather-wise.
And showerheads. I want to shower get to a clip for that.
And also, Mike McCabe will be joining us in about 15 minutes. All coming up on John and Gordy in the Morning, right here.
People sleeping in your shoes. There's a warning sign on the road ahead. There's a lot of people saying we'd be better off dead. Don't feel like Satan, but I am the Lamb. So I try to forget it any way I can. Keep on rocking in the free world.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX 92.7. As the palm trees sway in the breeze, the coconuts are falling to the ground, and the banana trees are propagating.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. Mm-hmm. Help me, please.
We're seeing sunshine out there this morning, and it's going to be a beautiful day all day long. Maybe some clouds moving in later, highs in the mid-50s. This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning, brought to you by our friends at Verlo Mattress of Madison. Wake up and sleep better on a Verlo mattress. You know, a lot has changed since 1958, but some things have remained constant throughout Verlo's history. They're still direct to consumer and provide superior products at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress, two locations in Madison, East and West. Go to verlo.com for more information. And now it's time for us to welcome in our chief meteorologist of WMDX, Brittany Merlot. Yes. Good morning, Brittany.
Hi, Brittany.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
It's unbelievable. I mean, it was gorgeous. Sunny so early in the morning. It's just fantastic. This is a nice-looking day so far.
Yeah.
Now, don't break our mood, whatever you do.
Okay. I'll try my best.
Right. All right. Okay.
Well, no, the pressure's on.
The pressure's on, right.
High pressure. High pressure.
Today has been... Yes, you're right. High pressure is on.
Oh,
it's fantastic.
Okay.
It's got everybody smiling and feeling like that song we just played. Just relaxed.
Yeah.
I mean, the winds are finally calmer. There's no clouds out there. We've got the only bad thing I'm going to say is maybe take your allergy meds because that tree pollen is very high today. So I've already had the runny nose. I've already been sneezing. So just get ahead of that if you can. But otherwise, today, comfortable. Highs in those mid-50s. Gosh, I mean, I don't really want to talk about tomorrow, really, if you don't want any bad news. But we do have rain on the way.
For tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Not until tomorrow. We'll still be mild. We'll still hit 60 degrees. Those winds will get breezy out of the south, and we'll see some showers and storms by the afternoon. Those will continue into the evening, and then we get a little break Friday morning. It'll be partly sunny, still very comfortable at about 60 degrees, and then more showers and storms possible again in the evening. Mm. But at least it moves through during the week because it clears on out of here for the weekend. We're still looking dry both Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
As a big high-pressure system builds up north. It's keeping the rain down to the south, but we do have a chance of some more rain moving in by Sunday night, potentially. Mm. So overall, though, a gorgeous weekend, a comfortable one. Today's gorgeous. Just those allergies are coming out.
Yeah.
But the winds are going to die down, but we still have the burn bans in effect. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So you're still in a high fire danger today. Even though the winds are calm, we've still got that dry vegetation. We've still got the dry air out there. So burn bans are still in place for you.
All right.
All right, Brittany.
Well, thanks. That was really a nice weather forecast.
We'll enjoy today.
Well, it's great because now I'm going to go and get the seed, the grass seed.
Oh, finally.
And I'll spread it out there, and tomorrow we'll have a nice long rain. It'll soak in perfectly.
You've got it all planned out.
And then sunny, and then, of course, the grass seed will propagate. And I'm going to have a great-looking lawn this year. I know. Perfect. Right?
Wonderful.
Okay.
Perfect timing.
All right, Brittany. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brittany.
You're welcome.
You have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow.
You too.
It's Brittany Merlo, our WMDX meteorologist.
Okay. All right. So let's talk showerheads, shall we?
Showerheads?
Yes. Well, this is a
Trump is all about showerheads.
Yes,
he always has been. It's a very big concern of his.
Signed an executive order to make sure that showerhead freedom was there for everyone. So anyway, let's cue up cut 158. This is Sean Duffy talking about that wonderful Showerhead Freedom Act. Let's hear it.
Okay.
But the president's talking about showerheads. You don't have enough water that can come through your showerhead because of Biden's regulations. And so again, fixing small things like that, hopefully he's going to get the dishwashers. Wouldn't it be good if dishwashers worked again, where you don't have to wash your dishes first and then put them in the dishwasher to actually get a little heat on them? I mean, common sense stuff he's doing.
No, 100%, sir. And like, I'm so glad that we were able to.
Yeah. So finally, so glad to have straightened that out. The thing here is I think we're all kind of used to rinsing off the dishes before we put them into dishwashers. So, no, that's not something I'm complaining about. And the showerhead thing, seriously, they're the ones talking about it. They're the ones making it a big issue, and no one cares. And I've got – look, do we have the Just Ask John intro? We haven't – that hasn't come in yet.
No, it's not ready yet. I'm still working on it.
Okay, all right. Well –
you can still give us advice.
Oh, I'm going to give you Just Ask John advice here on the show because I've gone through the showerhead nightmare, the maze of showerheads out there, and it has nothing to do with the limiter in the showerhead at all. Everybody knows, and if you go online at like one of the major distributors of home products,
right? Okay,
there are always comments. Everybody's taking out the limiter for the shower head. Everyone's taking them out because they want that full pressure, supposedly, right?
You're sure.
But I tried it. I went through like four or five shower heads. They're not that expensive. But I went through all of those things. I took out the limiters. I put them on. Yeah. And the pressure still is not there. And the thing is, they don't understand that. Sean Duffy doesn't understand. I'm sure that Trump has never tried to replace the shower head on his own. And again, It doesn't matter. It's your water pressure.
Right.
And the thing about shower heads, it's the design of the shower head. It's the distribution of water inside the shower head that makes a difference of whether it's a powerful force or not a powerful force. And there are settings. Everybody has one of those adjustable shower heads. There are settings on it that just don't provide the kind of power or shower that you want. And you use the same one or two over and over again because that gives you that power you want.
Mm-hmm.
So it really has nothing to do with the limiters. These people are making a big issue about this. An executive order for Showerhead Freedom Day.
It's because he's overturning something that Biden put into place. That's why.
Yeah, that's really.
And, okay. And in
really
a place like Madison, too, it's probably more just the pipes in your house than the shower heads. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, my girlfriend, she lives in student housing downtown still, so it's still not the highest quality. But her water pressure is so bad, it takes probably about a minute on her kitchen tap to fill a glass of water.
Wow.
That's how bad her water pressure is.
Yeah, and there are shower heads that can't deal with that.
All right.
Well, they're not adjustable. There's only just, you know, it's one stream, but it makes it powerful even for low pressure.
Okay, that's fine. What about the dishwashers? Okay.
Well,
No one cares about the dishwashers. Apparently, Sean Duffy does.
Sean Duffy doesn't like to pre-wash the dishes. I do it anyway because
you gotta rinse them off.
Well,
I mean,
in your dishwashers, there's a trap in the dishwasher that collects all the debris. You don't want that to build up because then it smells like hell.
Okay.
So you want to rinse them off so you don't have that trap filling up with particles of food.
Okay. Coming up next, Mike McCabe, Substack blogger. On John and Gordy in the Morning.
To the campus and all across Dane County, we've got Madison Talking, 92.7 WMDX.
On a beautiful, beautiful Wednesday morning, we are having one heck of a time here in the program with Idiocracy. It continues.
Got plenty of sunshine today, highs in the mid-50s. Going to be beautiful all day long, maybe a few clouds late in the day. And this portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you again by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Wake up and sleep better on a Verlo mattress. Plenty of things have changed since 1958, but some things have remained constant throughout Verlo's history. They're still direct to consumer and provide superior products at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress of Madison, two locations in the Mad City, East and West, and Verlo. .com is where you can go for more information.
Well, again, you know, I'm suggesting everybody get an adjustable bed frame. Okay?
That's the way to go.
Like a hospital bed?
Yes, just like a hospital bed. No.
Like a hospital bed.
But you don't need the box spring.
No.
All right? So
you have the adjustable frames, right?
Yeah. Two long singles.
Yeah.
And you put them together, and it's a king-size bed.
You're
just
preparing yourself for when your kids put you in a home. Dying.
See, they won't have to put me in a home because now I have my adjustable bed.
Yes, that's it.
All right.
Hey, look who's here, Mike McCabe.
Good morning, guys.
How you doing?
Good.
Substack blogger, and you have a great blog this time around. And tell us a little bit about what you were talking about.
Well, I was talking about how here we are in the 2020s, and it feels a whole lot like the 1920s.
Yeah.
And we actually have a man in the White House who thinks that's a good thing, who really looks at the 1920s as a golden age for America. And of course, it was an age of isolationism and protectionism and nativism.
Well, he's actually going back to 1880.
Well, he often talks about the 1890s. Yeah. As a golden period, and it should be pointed out
that age.
There was the bank collapse of 1893, which led to a depression, not a recession, but a depression in the 1890s, and you know, so the golden age he speaks of was a time of great trauma for many Americans,
right?
And then he often glorifies the 1920s as well, and I suppose he thinks of the Roaring Twenties as a time of great economic vigor. Mm-hmm. But it was an era marked by that isolationism and protectionism and nativism. And so I quoted a former president who used those three words to describe what is going on. He first used them in 2011. Mm. And yeah. I quote an interview of his from 2011, but he didn't change his mind after 2011. And by the way, I'm not talking about Biden or Obama or Carter or, yeah. you know, it's a different president that I'm quoting. He said almost the very same words again in 2016, sort of warning the nation. And I think it was 2020 or 2021, he said it again, but even more with a sharper tongue, because he turned the words on his own party mm-hmm. and said, my own party's becoming isolationist and protectionist and nativist. And he talked about how dangerous that is and how corrosive to the soul it is. And that was George W. Bush
yeah.
who said those words and kept warning, kept repeating this over and over again. And so I wanted to quote those interviews because they speak so powerfully well, to the here and now. Because here we are, and I understand you've got that clip.
Yeah, yes. We played it, and it was just I played it because I couldn't believe I was agreeing with George W. Bush, or the fact that I always thought Bush was the dumbest president we ever had,
and after listening
to this is like, you know, I don't know whether it's, you know, comparing it to Trump or not, but I think this is a brilliant comment. Let's listen to it.
A rational immigration policy eventually passed. I think there's going to have to be some time. What's interesting about our country, if you study history, is that there are some isms that occasionally pop up. One is isolationism, and its evil twin protectionism, and its evil triplet nativism. So if you study the 20s, for example, there was an American first policy that said, who cares what happens in Europe? Well, what happened in Europe mattered eventually because of World War II. There was Smoot-Hawley, which was a part of an economic policy, which basically said we don't want trade. In other words, let's throw up barriers. And there was an immigration policy that I think during this period argued we had too many Jews and too many Italians, therefore we should have no immigrants. And my point to you is we've been through this kind of period of isolationism, protectionism, nativism. I'm a little concerned that we may be going through the same period. I hope that these isms pass, which would then allow for a more orderly look at immigration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, he said that in 2011. That mm-hmm. that was from a 2011 interview. So that last line about, I'm a little concerned that we may be entering this sort of phase again.
Yeah.
He didn't say this last week or last year. He said it in 2011, mm-hmm. but he made remarkably similar comments again in 2016 as I linked to it in my latest Substack article and then again, I think it was in 2021, he repeated.
He elaborated
but used these same terms. Mm-hmm. But yeah, here we are with an America First policy, and what do we have but trade policy that mirrors Smoot-Hawley from the 1920s. And what do we have but an immigration policy that is an exact reflection of what he described was in place in the 1920s. And so here we have a regime that is hell-bent on returning us to the 1920s. We're not thinking about where we should go as a country in the 2030s or the 2040s or the 2050s. They want to sort of return us safely to the 1920s. And of course, that was a period that led to the stock market crash in 1929 and, mm-hmm. and the Great Depression that plagued this country for well over a decade. I think if sometimes history can you can take comfort from history because you realize that we have been through these kinds of things yeah. before as a nation yeah. and we survived. Why would we want to return ourselves to a time where that led to so much trauma for so many people. My parents, my dad was born in 1919 and my mom in 1921, and they grew up through the Great Depression. And and I think anybody who has Depression-era parents or grandparents know how shaped they are by that experience, how scarred they were by the Great Depression. It changed the way they think, the way they thought forever. And we have a president who sort of nostalgically says that's the golden age that we want to return America to.
Yeah,
and just strange. Yesterday he wants to close down 30 embassies. Yeah. Now, I mean, just again, isolate us.
Yeah, we are trying to wall ourselves off, and you know that these kinds of impulses are tempting to many people because people flocked to it in the 1920s as well. Mm-hmm. When certain conditions arise, then people find it almost irresistible to wall ourselves off, to become isolationist and protectionist, to try to expel everybody who looks a little different or who's part of that other group. Mm-hmm. And America first. And that's going to remedy what ails us. And of course, it led to ruin. It led to absolute ruin for our country the last time these policies reigned supreme. I think we either learn from that history or we are doomed to repeat it.
Well, it seems like he's kind of romanticized that time period.
Sure has.
And sometimes if you think like that, you kind of eliminate all the negative possibilities that took place at that time. You think that you can do it better. Mm-hmm. If you did that, now I can make this a successful economy
maybe,
in some way, shape, or form.
And people who are sort of born with a silver spoon in their mouth or born on third base and they think they hit a triple.
Oh, yeah.
maybe people like that were doing fine in the 1920s. Maybe they even substantially enriched themselves during the 1920s.
And it was good for their family.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But at the expense of so many people who were traumatized by that era. And my parents were changed forever, and they never stopped sort of looking over their shoulder thinking, when's the next depression coming? Mm-hmm. Because they lived through it. And an awful lot of families were ruined, an awful lot of people were ruined. And here we are going down this same exact path, which is very sad.
Talking with Mike McCabe, Substack blogger and author. And Mike, in this latest Substack column, you talk about your time in the Peace Corps.
Yeah, I kind of end the column on that note.
Talk about that again.
Well, one of the things I mentioned is that I had to learn Bambara, which is a local language spoken in not only in Mali but in parts of West Africa. It's known as Jula in Ivory Coast, for example, but it's the same language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I ended up sort of learning it well enough to get by. I spoke it clumsily but serviceably, as I write in the column. But one of the things that, this is like 30 years ago that sure. I lived there, but I still remember the blessings that you would give if somebody fell ill. And I can still repeat them to this day. They're right there, fresh in my mind, because they came in so handy so many times. So, you'd say like, Kanogoya ke kadtoro dogia ke kiseki yerima, which means, the first one means, may you feel better or may you get better. Mm-hmm. The second one means may your troubles lessen. And the third one is may you come back to your old self. And I just conclude the column that is my wish for my country, mm-hmm. that we get better, that our troubles lessen, and that we come back to ourselves, that we return to we regain our senses and see through America first and see through the ghost of Smoot-Hawley and see through these kinds of backward-looking policies that led to ruin the first time that it transpired in our country and is going to lead to ruin again. So I just closed with those. I still remember them. Kanogiya ke.
It's pretty wild.
Katoro dogiya.
But it gives you a perspective. It certainly does give you a perspective. you know, a lot of things on the right, their big deal about the tariffs is that that we're hypocrites, that the progressives, Democrats, and liberals are hypocrites because it seems like we're against tariffs. And they always give examples. They've always talked about how we have tariffed China in the past. So why are we against tariffs now? Because it's Trump doing the tariffs? It isn't really. It's always this surgical tariff that we put on China because of something they were doing, like Obama talked about tires, dumping tires into this country. He tariffed him. That's very surgical. They're missing the point that Trump is doing this to every country in the world,
even one with even our ones, friends, even places without people.
Yes, even even that. So this is their excuse that, well, we have done it in the past and we thought tariffs were a good idea. Yeah. Well, no, we did it surgically and we did it really. All the examples are China. We haven't done it to the rest of the world, really. So they are providing this misinformation that we are hypocrites on it, and we aren't. Tariffs are good if you surgically use them and you don't lash out at even your friends, even your neighbors, country up and down, you know, Canada,
well,
Mexico.
You can aim for free trade. Mm-hmm. You can aim for fair trade. You know, there are free traders out there who just want, you know, they just want products to flow and without any barriers or restrictions at all. And then you can aim for fair trade where you try to, you know, create some measures that help control things. Or you can start trade wars. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, the trade war.
This is Smoot-Hawley revisited.
Yeah.
And George W. Bush hit the nail right on the head. This is the same as
Smoot-Hawley. And what happened with Smoot-Hawley? Well, anyone? Anyone?
Anyone? Didn't work.
Yeah. It led to ruin.
Yeah. All right. 7:49, we're back with Mike McCabe, Substack blogger, right after this on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX 92.7.
It's John and Gordy in the Morning. We want to send our congratulations out to our winner of those Milwaukee Film Festival tickets. Thomas from Greenfield will be going to that festival. We'll have more tickets to give away tomorrow. We'll talk to Kara Ogburn from the Milwaukee Film Fest, and she'll tell us about what's going on, some of the highlights there.
Yeah, he's pretty glad. You know, he played his hits and some of the new ones, plus Beatles songs. So, yeah, he's really anxious to go to this concert, so. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Right?
No, you're confusing two different things here.
Yeah.
We gave to Thomas the Milwaukee Film Festival tickets. This was a Peter Frampton winner.
Ah, okay. I'm getting confused. We're getting all these texts here.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about the deportation problem that we have in this country now. This is just crazy stuff. You know, Trump has been lashing out at MS-13 for a long time. I guess he wanted the death penalty for some members he thought were part of that group. And now he is not backing down with this person who was mistakenly sent to El Salvador, even though his administration admitted to it. And everybody is talking that, well, you know, it wasn't something we should have done. And the Supreme Court sided with them, saying, try to get him back. But, of course, he doubled down. I think he's convinced that this is another MS-13 individual, and he's not going to back down. He's going to keep that guy there. He even convinced the president of El Salvador to keep him there. And now he's talking. This is the scary part. He's been talking about sending Americans there, you know, really, really, really bad Americans. Well, you just can't do it. You can't call them really bad and send Americans to some foreign country to be tortured. You just can't do it. But anyway, he's decided to do that. And my my son mentioned this to me yesterday. He says the Trump executive order that he wrote a while back gives him the ability now to declare martial law on April 20th. This is, and then it's Easter, you know, Hitler's birthday, and now he also will be allowed under martial law to deport American citizens if he wants to. And so he's suggesting it now on April 20th. He can declare martial law and do just that. So we're kind of building up to this, aren't we?
Well, you know, and I can't know what is in this guy's heart or in his head, and I don't want to get in that head.
Yeah.
Right.
But my gut tells me that what this is really all about is it's for optics. He's not convinced that any of these people have gang affiliations. He slaps that label on them so that he can engage in the theatrics, because I think he wants to get people to self-deport. He wants people to never come in the first place. Mm-hmm. It is the nativism that George W. Bush talked about. It's having an immigration policy that is based on this idea that there are too many of them among us.
Yeah.
People who are different looking or speak with a different tongue. There's too many of them among us. Let's make them go away. Let's make them disappear. And then you engage in some of this theatrical behavior to send an unmistakable message to millions of people. Don't come, or if you're here, leave. And I think that's what this is really about. It's about, you know, his desire to cleanse America in this fashion, which of course is also an isolationist kind of mentality that never leads anywhere good. Mm-hmm. It never leads to prosperity. It never leads to greater freedom. It never leads anywhere good. Because, and the reason I can say that with such certainty is that it's been done before in America, and we have a long history of it, and we see what happens when you have these spikes of this kind of behavior and this kind of ideology.
I've kind of, you know, I'm comparing it to the protests that we saw on campuses, the Palestinian protests, and, you know, they're certainly canceling a lot of visas of the students who participated in it. It happened here on our campus here at the UW, and now they're pushing very hard on Harvard, and Harvard is pushing back just as hard by saying that we're going to turn down the $8 billion whatever funding that they were going to get. Yeah, that's amazing, because they wanted somebody to be on the university staff going through the hires, what the curriculum is. It's stunning stuff, and I think because Harvard is doing this, more colleges are now trying to get on board and maybe join together with other
colleges. That was an incredibly important action by Harvard.
Yes.
When you think about, so many people have kneeled down. So many people have refused to resist. So many lawyers, so many judges, so many universities, so many institutions and people with considerable power have chosen to kneel down.
Yeah.
And here was an example of an institution that decided to stand firm, and that's an incredibly important message.
Dominoes
to send.
Yeah, absolutely. Domino effect. And other universities and other colleges are joining in.
My only point here is that he's targeting people at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's targeting people all over the country. But my point is that he wants to. If he targets 1,000, or if he targets 10,000, or if he targets 100,000. That's not his aim. Mm-hmm. His aim is to send a message to millions.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what he's really aiming to do. Because he wants millions out of here.
The message I want to send is UW better jump on board.
Absolutely.
I want them to be a part of this.
Absolutely.
That's going to do it, Mike. Thanks for joining us. Yeah. Mike McCabe. He's with us every Wednesday. Tomorrow, we'll talk to Kara Ogburn from the Milwaukee Film Festival. Have more tickets to give away. And also Judy Davidoff from Isthmus will be with us. Stephanie Miller is coming up next. We hope you have a great day. John, have a wonderful day.
Yes, I'm going to have one.
You have a good day,
you
too.
You too.
Producer Sam, Mike, thank you.
Producer Sam.
So long.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.